Today we're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to give you a little bit of background of the book before I read some passages in the book. Ecclesiastes, first off, is found right after the book of Proverbs. Right after the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book all about wisdom. And how wisdom is helpful, grateful, wonderful. And if you lead your life by wisdom, you will have a successful, wonderful, and great life. Then you turn the page and you get the book of Ecclesiastes. In the Hebrew, the book of Ecclesiastes says it's written by an individual named Koheleth. We link it up with Solomon, but the book itself says it was written by Koheleth. That's the Hebrew word, which possibly means teacher, is what the word probably means. In some of your translations, that's how it's translated. It says the teacher. I want to tell you, though, before I read these passages, that this has got to be the most depressing book of the whole Bible. I mean, the whole Bible, the whole book, except for a little piece of it, is very low down in the gutter. And you'll see that as I read verse 2. Verse 2, you probably know by heart from the King James. I'll be reading from the NIV today. So starting in verse 2, then I'm going to skip down to verse 12, and then I'm going to skip down to chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. Okay? So verse 2 of the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utter meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, some of you know that is vanity, vanity. Everything is a vanity, but it means meaningless, everything. Going down to verse 12 in the first chapter. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. This is where we link it up with Solomon. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that were done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Now on to chapter 2, verse 18. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun. Because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This, too, is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome work under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This, too, is meaningless. What an exciting book. There are 12 chapters of this much excitement. And there's not a single one of the chapters that's any different. This is a representation of what's in this book. You see, we link it up with Solomon because of that passage where it says that I was king in Israel. The beginning verse, which I didn't read, said a son of David. So we link it up with Solomon, and what do we know about Solomon? Is that Solomon was gifted by God with great and intelligible wisdom. I mean, he just had wisdom beyond wisdom and was able to solve situations and look into situations and understand them. And a lot of the book of Proverbs probably comes from Solomon. And he brings us those bits of wisdom. And then he writes this whole book about how meaningless everything is, how burdensome God's commandments are, and just on and on and on. And if you read the whole book, by the time you get towards the end of it, you might miss what Solomon really has to say. But we're not going to get there yet. I want you to be with this for a minute. The teacher tells us all of life is meaningless. It's all vanities. It's all chasing after the wind. It's all for nothing. Now, that's not a very good thing to preach about, is it? Deanne asked me last night at supper, she says, what are you preaching on this weekend? And I told her, I said, well, let's see. It's Ecclesiastes 1, 2, verses 12 through 14, and 2, 18 through 23. And she looked at me and she said, you just made that one up. And I pulled my tablet out and I showed her. I said, no, here's my notes for my sermon. She said, and she said this. She said, I want to see you pull that one off. Because it's not an encouraging word, is it? It's not a word of excitement. It's not a word of lifting up. If everything in life is meaningless, then why do I even bother? That's what Koheleth tells us. Why do I even bother? And he says that he inspected life with wisdom and found it lacking. He took all of his great, powerful, wonderful wisdom and found all of life lacking. Well, thank you for a good word. I'm glad that Koheleth was given so much wisdom that could help us to understand that we just ought to go home, climb under a rock, and sit there until the end of time. Because that is how this book reads. And he goes on even further. He says, everything you gather will belong to someone else. Everything. Everything you gather in life will belong to someone else. You don't get to keep it. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter how precious it is to you. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. You don't get to keep it. Ever. Not anything you've saved up. For those of you that were like my one grandfather, every nut, bolt, screw, washer, lock, nut, everything, nail that you have saved up, organized, and got ready for use later, guess where it ended up? Not with my grandpa. No, I didn't take it. Most of it got thrown away. All those screws and nuts and bolts and washers and lock nuts and nails, all those things that he saved up through the years, most of it got thrown right straight in the trash, and that's where it went. I know some of you out there are cringing now because there might be a screw in there I need for something. Nothing goes with you. Deanne and I continue to be in the process of finding things in the house that we particularly know nobody wants and getting rid of them now because sometimes we're not using them. I'll tell you truthfully, I know we have some boxes that were packed up 26 years ago. and have been moved twice and have never been opened. I'm kind of thinking we don't need it. What do you think? It doesn't matter what's in the box. If I told you what was in the box, would it make a difference to you? Some of you it might, because you want it to take somewhere else. Some of it is, I can tell you this, some of it is Deanne's grandmother on her father's side, China teacups that are all broken. And repaired with staples to put the handles back on. And when I say teacups, I mean teacups. Not a cup big enough for a swallow to me. Why are we still saving them? Why are we? I don't know. Maybe because it was her grandmother's. But you see, everything you gather up is going to belong to someone else. And the biggest problem that Koheleth had with this was you don't know if they will use your things with wisdom. You have no idea. The person that receives them may find them incredibly valuable and never want to get rid of them. Or they may look at it and go, why'd they keep this? And throw it away. And Koheleth says, that's just meaningless. All of those things are meaningless. Preserving, saving them, keeping them, Koheleth would say, is meaningless. It doesn't really matter. Now I want to let you know, to me it does matter with some of the things that I have. I have my grandfather's Navy captain hat. Nobody else wanted it in the family, and my dad was going to throw it away. And I said, no, it was Grandpa's. I want it. So I have the wonderful dress, white hat with, for those of you that don't know, scrambled eggs across the brim. If you don't know what scrambled eggs are, you need to go look that one up for a Navy hat. I have some of his other possessions, rocks that he brought back from Antarctica. How do I know they're from Antarctica? Because he told me. For all I know, they were from his backyard. But Koheleth says, all of these things are meaningless. And you don't really know where it's going to end up. All that you chase after. You see, he studied all these things with wisdom. And he looked at all of them and he said, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? And he says, when it comes right down to it, no, it's not. It is not worth it. No matter what it is. Well, now that I've told you that this book is totally depressing, and I have informed you how depressing it is by reading part of it, I want to read the very last thing that he wrote in this book, in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 say this. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. Do you see what Koheleth did? He went through everything in life. And as the last two verses he writes, there's only one thing that has any meaning. There's only one thing, and that's a relationship with a living God. That's all there is. And I got a bonus for you. You get to take that relationship with you. That's the only thing that does go with you to heaven. There is nothing else. I can say my relationship with other people, but it's my relationship with God, one, that gets me into heaven. Because without knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, what happens? You don't get to go to heaven. You go to live with Satan for the rest of your life without that relationship. Do you have that relationship? It doesn't matter how many degrees and privileges you have. It doesn't matter your status in society. It doesn't matter that your basement is so full with things that you're going to use one day. Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is a relationship. I'm serious. Go home and read the whole of book Ecclesiastes. If you can make it through it in one sitting, because it's depressing. He says everything in life is meaningless except for a relationship with God. He goes on for 12 chapters telling you everything that's meaningless and doesn't leave anything out. And then at the very end, he says, it all comes down to this. A relationship with God. Are you investing in the only meaningful thing? Are you investing in the only meaningful thing? Are you investing in a work and a career, a family? Are you investing in status in the community? Are you? It says the only meaningful thing is what? A relationship with God. Everything else you have is going to end up in somebody else's hands. Everything. I seriously want you to give some thought to this. Because if you tell me you have a relationship with God, then this is something you should be working on every day. If that is the only meaningful thing, why would you put all your time and effort in other things? Every day. I told him downstairs this morning as we were going through 2 John. And I know many of you have heard me say this before. Just because you sit in a garage, that doesn't make you a car. Just because you sit in church, that doesn't make you a Christian. I can climb a tree and that doesn't make me a gray squirrel either. At my age, that probably makes me an idiot. Because at my age, there's probably only one way to come out of the tree. And if you can't figure that one out, I'm not going to demonstrate it for you. Are you working on the only meaningful thing in life? A relationship with God. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because we recognize the fact that sometimes we think we use wisdom. But we don't take the time to really listen to what Koheleth has to say in the book of Ecclesiastes. This great, incredible, and wise teacher that knew how to solve things and knew how to work things out and knew what the right steps were to take in almost every situation, tells us that everything is meaningless except for our love relationship with you. Lord, help us to search our hearts before we partake of communion today. Help us to look in there and to see what's taking priority over you. What we're putting time and effort into instead of spending time with you. Because, Lord, that's the only thing we'll take to heaven with us, is our relationship with you. All else will be left behind. Help us right now to search our hearts and to be guided by you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.